Good morning. Happy Sabbath. The title of my split sermon this morning is Be Strong and of Good Courage. And it's definitely something that we need to take to heart, and especially in today's world. There's a lot going on out there, and we definitely need to be strong and of good courage. Because God's Word tells us what's ahead of us. But God also tells us that He will never leave us or forsake us. So if you would, turn to Joshua 1. Because I know you've heard these words before, and I want to talk about them in the book of Joshua. In Joshua 1, we see in verse 1 that it's the Lord speaking to Joshua. And in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Very encouraging words. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. In verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers, to their fathers, to give them. Only be you strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever you go. And that's one thing that we're doing today, is we're studying God's Word. We are to study this every day so that we don't turn from what God tells us. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written within. For then you shall make thy way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. In verse 9, have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. He's really helping that to sink into Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wheresoever you goest. And God assures us of that today. Wherever we go, He is with us. That's to strengthen us. That's to remind us to be strong and of good courage in what we deal with each and every day. Because we should be heeding these words that we're reading now in Joshua. Because if you turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, we saw where it was the Lord speaking to Joshua. And in Hebrews 13, we'll start in verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. In verse 8, and this is the point we're wanting to grasp right now, is that the person speaking to Joshua is this person speaking to us today. In verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Because the story that I'm covering today is a story that's very much of our life today. And we're going to be in the book of Joshua, because I want to speak about Rahab. and her example, and her example of being strong and of good courage. The Lord was speaking to Joshua, but the topic of my subject today is Rahab and her example. But Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that. That's a reassurance to us. The Lord was not going to tell Joshua one thing and then come around and tell us something different. We all mesh together. God's word does not change. God's word is truth. So if you would, we're going to stay mostly in Joshua today, this morning. So if you would, turn back to Joshua 2. And you know the story. This is where they were getting ready to go in, cross the Jordan, into Jericho. So in verse 1, Joshua sent two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. But notice in verse 2, because 40 years prior to this, there were 12 men who were sent in by Moses to spy out the land. And they did it secretly. They weren't just walking down the middle of the road, hand in hand, just sort of humming a song. They were spying out the land secretly and then going back and reporting after 40 days to Moses. Here, these two men were told to go spy out the land and also Jericho. It says they lodged. But in verse 2, what does it say? Almost immediately, it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." Well, you would tend to think that they would be on guard since there's this massive army across the Jordan waiting to come in to take over. So you're going to be on guard. So just how quickly that happened. But in verse 3 it says the king of Jericho sent. Where did he send these men? He sent them to Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to you, which are entered into your house, for they be come to search out all the country." That didn't happen over a 40-day period. That happened the same day. They were known. How were they known? Possibly the way they looked, the way they talked. You know, they were in an inn where a lot of communications occur, so they were picking up different things. However it happened, they were found out. But this is where you see Rahab. This is where you see how strong she is. And she shows that. Because in verse 4, what does she do? She puts her life in jeopardy. And how did she do that? She took the two men and hid them and said to the men who came to her from the king, "There came in men unto me, but I don't know where they are. It came to pass the time of shutting the gate when it was dark that the men went out. Where they went, I don't know." And I'm not really here this morning to talk about, you know, the lying part and the part of Rahab and the harlot. That's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about how Rahab is showing the strongness of being strong and of good courage. And we'll see as I progress how that unfolds into the story. So she told the men, "Pursue them quickly. You'll overtake them. Go, go." But she had brought them to the roof of her house. She had hid them there. So the men in verse 7, they pursued after them to the Jordan, thinking, these guys are thinking, well, they're going to beeline it back to their army. So they're heading towards Jordan, the Jordan River. And as soon as they were, you know, they pursued after them, they closed the gate. So In verse 8, we're going to see where Rahab really opens up. She really shows not only the strength that she had internally, but also that was being directed for her family. And the courage that she showed, because she went against her king, she went against her city, her countrymen, by hiding these men. You know, some people call that treason. You know, of course, in today's world, it could be treasonous, but they tend to let people go. But here, this was a life and death matter. In verse 8, before the men who she hid on the roof, the two spies, were laid down, Rahab came up to them upon a roof. And in verse 9, she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given, that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. She was giving out some very good information here to the spies, something they possibly may not have known or would have even had time to learn or pick up. She was divulging this information to these two spies. So what does she say in verse 10? And we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. It doesn't say how the age of these two spies. It doesn't say the age of Rahab. Okay, but she's reporting or rehearsing history here that happened the Red Sea some 40 years earlier. But that memory or that story had been maintained in that country. And she says that the Lord did that. And then she was repeating the more recent history of when they defeated Sihon and Og, which was just, you know, a few days or whatever it was, time period recently before that, before the two spies came into the country, into the land. And in verse 11, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Now listen to the next phrase here, the words. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. This is a woman who is of another nation. Doesn't really know God, but she has heard what God has done for Israel. And what she knows is coming. She is showing faith here because she is addressing to the two spies that she knows that the Lord, their God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Again, it's taking a lot of strength to admit to this, a lot of courage to even verbalize that in this country, in that city. She didn't need to be there to see what was happening. She heard it. And her faith was building off of what she had heard. Because we read in Romans, hold your place there in Joshua 2, but over in Romans 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17. We read where it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So again, what she was rehearsing to the men, especially about the Red Sea, is something they heard. She believed. She was building faith. And that's one thing you just have to stop and think. This is Rahab speaking. But in our life today, what was that one thing? Might have been more than one. What was that one thing that really clicked in your life that made you realize this is the true way? This is God's way. Can you remember what that was? Was it from a family member? Was it from a friend? Was it from the radio? Was it from magazines, literature? What was that that God was working with when He called you that something just clicked? It's like clicking a switch on. That light coming on. What was that? Well, we're reading here what it was for Rahab. She could see. She knew the army, the Israelites were there. She knew they were coming. But she also knew what God had done for them. And she was expressing that. Too. Because Rahab knew these two men were representing the army of God. She knew that. That's why she did what she did. By showing that strength of doing that. Verse 12, "Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token." Verse 13, "And that you will save alive my father, my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." You see the devotion to family there? You know, we're devoted to our family. Not just our physical family, but our spiritual family. Our devotion should be strong and become stronger each and every day of our life. God has called us to be a family. And with her devotion to family, but she was also showing a devotion to God. She was promised because she knew that God would deliver them. Now hold your place there, because I want to make a reference here to Joshua 24, verse 15. And this would be Joshua speaking in Joshua 24, 15. Because here earlier, Rahab was wanting a promise that her and her family would be saved. In Joshua 24, 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but..." And this is Joshua speaking, "but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, isn't that what Rahab was saying? Save my family. We will serve the Lord. She was showing that courage, again, that strength of recognizing and looking forward to that, being saved out of what was coming. In Joshua 2, we're back to Joshua 2 now, in verse 14. "So the spies, the two men, answered, said, 'Our life for yours, if you utter not our business.'" As long as you don't tell people where we are and what we're doing, then we will promise that we will save you. "And it shall be that when the Lord has given us the land..." And here they are giving praise to God. When the Lord gives us the land. It's not when we take the land. It's when the Lord gives it to us. "That we will deal kindly and truly with you." So they gave a promise. So we have to think in our life as well. Our word should be our bond. When we give a promise, we should do our best to keep that promise. You know, we have promised God that we would follow Him. And when God called us, we stepped out in faith because we knew again, whatever that was that clicked, that told us this was the right way, and God called us, that we follow His commandments, His laws. Just like the story we're reading right now, that's the direction Rahab wanted for her and her family, was to follow that direction. So it's not any different back then than it is today, because it's not an army of Israel that we see coming at us. What we see coming at us is something a lot worse than what mankind has ever seen before. So we have to be assured and faithful and know that God's word is exact, it's true. And when He says He will never leave us and forsake us, He means it. And that's a strength that we need to draw from. In Titus 1, verse 2, the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 2, you know, where Paul is speaking, in Titus 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So when God promises something, He means it. You know, God cannot lie. I mean, that is a wonderful, wonderful feeling and blessing. You know, because we do. We go before God and we ask Him for various things. We speak and talk with Jesus Christ, our elder brother. You know, we tap into that power. We tap into that source. That's what it's there for. God has opened that up by the sacrifice of His Son, that we can come before the very throne of God. But we also need to tap into another source and support mechanism. And you know what that is? It's all of you. It's all of us. God's family. That is a great support system. We need to utilize that. You know, to tap into that support of our family here, and just not on the weekly Sabbath. You know, because I know that we do pray for one another. You know, there are many people out there that are sick. They're in need of healing, of comforting. So we're there for you. We're there for each other. And that's what Rahab was looking for. She was looking for that support system to know that her family would be safe. And our support system is to be there for those that need to talk. You know, because you do realize God gave us two ears, one mouth. So you tend to think you need to listen twice as much as you're speaking. A lot of us are good listeners. I know we are. We're not alone in the world, nor should we ever think we are. We are each unique in our own way. We have our own personal talents, and we need to be sharing our stories. A lot of history, a lot of stories, a lot of great support out there that we don't need to keep bottled up inside of us. We need to be sharing it with each and every one. You know, from the youngest to the middle aged, to the oldest. So that's what we need to be doing. We need to be sharing our stories, because once we're gone, the stories are gone. But to also be aware of opportunities, because God grants us opportunities. But we need to also know how to recognize those opportunities. And these are opportunities where, if you think back, and someone was speaking to you, may not be a member, may not be someone in your family, just a stranger. But how do you read what they're asking you in the conversation? There may be something in their conversation that says, or the answer could have been a scripture or God's word to sort of answer that inquiry with. But have we sort of lost that opportunity by just sort of answering it from the way of the world, type comment. Oh, you know, what can you expect? When we know what to expect, you know, there are opportunities that are being presented to us each and every day. Whatever they may be, could be small, could be large. But how do you read something like that? You know, listen to your inner, the Spirit of God. Listen to the God Spirit. Listen to your inner belief. You know, because at times there are just times that something is telling you deep down that you need to answer something God's way. And hopefully that's most of the time, because that person, if they're not a true believer, well, it's there. They've heard it. Then it's their chance to either use what you've said, retain it, or just move on with their life. You know, these are opportunities that God's presenting to us that we don't want to be missing. You know, you just never know. God works in mysterious ways. My hands are so dry, it's hard to turn these pages up here. So let's go back to Joshua 2. And we're in verse 15. And again, this shows the concern and courage of Rahab. Her story is just full of examples here. And here she's going to make herself very clear to these men, because in verse 15, she lets the men down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Now again, it doesn't say how old the men were or how old Rahab was, but what she says in verse 16, she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, okay, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide yourself there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward you may go your way." So basically she was telling them to go the direction opposite of your camp, because they went that way towards the camp looking for you. So you don't want to meet. Maybe the men already knew that. Maybe not. But does that show her clear concern for these men? Because they have assured her that they gave the promise. Well, she wanted to make sure they got back to their camp to deliver that message. So strong, clear courage there. You know, she took it upon herself. Whether you know it or not, go that way. So it's, you know, some of the things that you read in these stories are just, you start digging into it, it's something else. So the men said unto them, "We will be blameless of your oath, for we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land," and this is where they gave her a cord to bind on her window, a scarlet cord, "that you let us down by, and you should bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household home unto you. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon you." So here there's a symbolism of the scarlet cord being hung outside the window, which, you know, back again 40 years or so earlier, before the Israelites left Egypt, you had the Passover. So they marked the lintel and the doorpost with the blood of the lamb. So, but you heard that they told them that you better be inside the house when we come in, because whoever's found outside of that dwelling is fair game. Their blood's on their head. They will be killed. Basically is what they were saying. So you better stay inside. But what does that show? There's no timeline here. But she knew within 3 days that would start to clock, because she told the men to be there 3 days and then go back to your camp. So there's these timelines. Well, you got to do all this preparation, because in the old days, when an army attacked a city, they had to build ramps, or they had to build these giant towers to try to go over the walls, because they didn't know how they were going to come into the city or how long it would take them to come in. So here's all this preparation that Rahab and her family had to prepare for, She did know what they were being told. You stay inside. You know, do not go outside. Just like today, you know, we're told, wait on the Lord. Endure. You know, don't give up. Don't go outside. Don't be involved in worldly ways. Because we don't know when Christ is returning. We know an approximate timeline again. But we're told to prepare, to get ready for that moment. You know, don't be caught unawares. So you know, all these examples are so true today as they were back then. Well, we know the story about the circling of the city once the army got there. But also the nation was also reminded of God's power again, because when the army of Israel crossed the Jordan, God stopped the waters. Well, in Joshua 5, verse 1, they got a taste of another story of God's power. And what does it say in Joshua 5, verse 1? I mean, this wasn't 40 years ago. This was happening right then and there. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until they were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was there spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. These people were really getting it, you know, firsthand of God's strength and God's power. And we read this and we're reminded of God's strength and God's power. Okay, we don't need to see that. We know it. We understand it. We believe it. So we know God's power. We know. And we continue to believe that. Because one thing that Joshua 6, verses 22 and 23, is where Rahab and the family are delivered. But you can imagine, as they were circling Jericho, as God had instructed Joshua and the army to do, surely the scarlet cord was visible out this one window. And whether it was the two spies, or whether it was most of the army, or even Joshua, every time they would come around that side of the city to see that, that would be a reassurance to them that there were people there, that it helped our people, and they were worth saving. You know, every year, you know, we're coming up to the spring holy days, Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread. Isn't it wonderful that God has given us and explained to us His holy days and of the Passover, where we can come to Him at the Passover service, you know, for that meaning of that special time with the bread and the wine, the foot washing ceremony. It's such a wonderful time, and it's ahead of us. It'll be here soon. Yeah, Rahab is recorded in the book of Hebrews 11 because of her actions, because of what she did, and how she saved her and her family by showing that type of strength and showing that courage. Hebrews 11, verse 30 and 31. It says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. You know, again, by what Rahab did, showed by her actions, her belief, her faith, her strength, her conviction. And also in the book of James 2, verse 25, where it says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. And if you do a study on Rahab, you see where it says that she eventually married a man called Salmon, S-A-L-M-O-N, from the tribe of Judah. And it also talks about they were the parents of Boaz. And we all know who Boaz was. Showing the lineage of King David and Jesus Christ in this story. So why are we to be showing that we should be strong and proving that we are strong and of good courage? What's coming ahead of us? For last scripture, we'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. Verses 1 through 5. So this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And we see this nowadays. This is coming true, happening right before our eyes. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. You know, perilous times, dangerous, fierce, hard to take, weakening. You know, we read here in verses 2 through 4, you know, it doesn't show a whole lot of love towards God, does it? Or mankind. It just shows nothing but love of self. You know, and Satan, he's ingrained these deceptive thoughts, and he continues to throughout history, even today, and up to the point that Christ returns. Yeah, so we are to be strong and of good courage, to stay close to God. You know, God's word is truth. You read that in John 17:17. So we need to keep rehearsing these stories of the Bible. We also need to learn to share our own stories. We have to be doing that. We need to keep applying what we learn in our daily walk. That should be part of our story. We need to be continuing to build faith, but also to let our faith have action, just as we saw where Rahab had. Her faith was shown by her actions. So let's be strong and of good courage.